Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We were joined at 8 o'clock this morning, Central Time, by Dilip Hero, author of the new book, Blood of the Earth, The Battle for the World's Vanishing Oil Resources. I've also read several of Dilip's other books, including The Iranian Labyrinth, The Essential Middle East, A Comprehensive Guide, and The Longest War, The Iran-Iraq Military Conflict. We're now joined this morning by Dr. Michael Chosadovsky, who is an economics professor at the University of Ottawa in Canada. He is also the director for the Center for Research on Globalization, and you can find that website at globalresearch.ca. That's globalresearch.ca, and you'll see a lot of information there that, for very obvious reasons, I hope, is not generally covered in the corporate press. And when you look at some of the things that are posted there, you'll begin to understand some of the concerns that I and others have in regard to what the president said last night, as well as what he didn't say. Dr. Chosadovsky, how are you, sir?
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be on the program. Greetings to everybody in Texas.
Yes, well, thank you. Thank you for coming on. We were going to have you on last week, and then we were somewhat incapacitated here by an ice storm, since we're not quite up on the same equipment that Chicago and Minneapolis have. And I know that you're busy with all kinds of things next week, and that it's a major strain on your schedule to be here. So I sure appreciate the fact that you have come on to the Republic Broadcasting Network to share your site with us and some of the information that's there. What was your take on the president's speech last night?
Well, I had the impression that there was nothing particularly new in relation to previous statements, particularly his statements on the surge and the increase in troop involvement in Iraq. And I didn't see any spots which in his presentation which point in an optimistic direction. I think that there's a crisis at the level of the whole state system. There's a crisis at the U.S. Congress. There's no consensus, but at the same time, one has the feeling that there's no consensus, but at the same time, there's no alternative which is coming forth either from the White House or from the U.S. Congress. Announcements which have been made recently to extend this war into Iran, possibly using nuclear weapons against Iran for its alleged nuclear weapons program, which it doesn't have, we're on a very dangerous course. I think we're at the crossroads of perhaps what is the most serious crisis in modern history, when you have an administration which doesn't know where it's going and which talks about waging nuclear war on a preemptive defensive basis with a view to saving lives, and then saying that nuclear bombs are safe for the surrounding civilian population, quote-unquote. It's a Pentagon document.
This stuff is so bad, it seems to me, that it's almost in the realm of science fiction, except unfortunately it happens to be true in my view. Looking at your site, globalresearch.ca, which I've been urging people to take a look at for a long time, at Breaking All the Rules News, which is a major outlet of the non-Bush American right, we post links to your site fairly frequently. When I come back, I want to ask you about a couple of pieces that are on your website that would tend to underscore the draconian character of what you've described for us. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be back with Dr. Michael Chosadovsky of the Center for Research on Globalization. Stay tuned.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a biweekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420 and see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420 or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
We're back. This is Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest for the last hour of my show today is Dr. Michael Chossadowski, who is an economics professor at the University of Ottawa in Canada. He's also the director for the Center for Research on Globalization. And if you go to his website, which you can find at www.globalresearch.ca, you can see the same things that I'm currently looking at on my screen. I hasten to add that he also has a book out that will interest you entitled America's War on Terror, which you can have through that website, globalresearch.ca. I urge all of you to avail yourselves of the information that's there. And, Michael, getting back to what we were chatting about before the break, just in terms of the first couple of stories that are at the top of the page on your site, I read Colonel Sam Gardner's piece, Iran Pieces in Place for Escalation. Colonel Gardner says the pieces are moving. They'll be in place by the end of February. The media will begin to release stories to sell a strike against Iran. Watch for the outrage stuff. And then the very next piece is yours, of course. Is the Bush administration planning a nuclear holocaust? The new nuclear doctrine turns concepts and realities upside down. It states that nuclear weapons are safe and their use will ensure, quote, minimal collateral damage, unquote. Are we simply dealing with an administration that has gone crazy? Or what is behind all of this?
Well, this legitimacy provided to nuclear weapons goes back several years. It goes back to what is called the Nuclear Posture Review in 2002, and there's been a lot of paperwork to build that consensus that nuclear weapons are no longer the weapon of last resort, of a legacy from the Cold War era. They are weapons which can be used in the war theater, in the conventional war theater. Now, what does that mean? And I'm quoting U.S. military doctrine. It means that there's an integration of conventional and nuclear weapons. They talk about the toolbox, okay? And when they talk about the military toolbox, it means that you can pick and choose from that toolbox whether you want an atomic bomb or you want a Kalashnikov. And that essentially what has happened now is that the distinction between nuclear weapons, which ultimately threaten the future of humanity, and conventional war theater weapons has been blurred. And there's been a lot of propaganda, scientists being enlisted to say, well, these nuclear weapons are not so bad after all. The explosion is underground because it's the new generation of tactical nuclear weapons. It's underground, and consequently the explosion is underground. But in fact, when you start to look at these reports, you realize it's only 20 feet underground, you know, which is about equivalent to a 2- or 3-story building. And so that, in effect, if these tactical mini-nukes, which vary in explosive capacity between 1/3 and 6 times the Hiroshima bomb, are used either by the United States, Israel, or NATO, and incidentally, 5 non-nuclear states have these weapons deployed. Okay, we're not talking about Iran. We're talking about Belgium, Holland, Italy, Germany, and Turkey. Okay, they have those weapons, and they're pointed at Iran. Now, if by accident or by some political misunderstanding, because the President of the United States is not necessarily aware of all the implications, and he's still the Commander in Chief, and he could, with his cronies, he can unleash a nuclear holocaust. I'm not saying it will happen, but I say that all the green lights are there. The U.S. Senate has given a green light to the integration of these tactical nuclear weapons into the conventional war theater. There's been a nuclear weapons deployment authorization, which was issued almost 2 years ago. I don't know what's in it, but there have been some reports to the effect that they've deployed these tactical nuclear weapons in the Middle East. Even if a conventional war is waged on Iran at this point, punitive bombings, the whole region is going to explode, from the eastern Mediterranean right through to the Chinese border. Okay, there's been a massive deployment of military hardware in the Persian Gulf. The Iranians have been involved in war exercises. The United States, Canada, NATO have been involved in war exercises. The Chinese, the Russians are involved in war exercises. Very little of this is understood or even analyzed in the mainstream press. So we are, and I repeat, we are at the crossroads of a major crisis in our modern history. This is a military adventure. It doesn't ultimately, even if it serves a profit-driven war, you know, the battle for oil, which inevitably is there, it is destructive of those interests at the same time. I mean, it's clear that the war in Iraq is driven by profit, because Iraq has 5 times more oil reserves than the United States of America. So that's the background of this whole context.
What do you think is the role of the Israeli lobby in all of this? I mean, much has been made both in the non-establishment press and the American left, as well as the non-establishment, non-neoconservative American right outlets, about the fact that so many of the leading neoconservatives in the Bush administration have direct and indirect ties to the Likud regime in Tel Aviv. To what extent is Israel behind what the United States has done up to this point in Iraq? And to what extent is Israel a driving force in pushing Bush into this confrontation with Iran, in your judgment?
Yeah, well, it's a very complex process. There's unquestionably, Israel is playing a very important role on the Middle East, Central Asian chessboard. That's clear. It is the role of a strategic partner with the United States. I wouldn't say that Israel is calling the shots, okay? I think that's where I would draw the line. I don't think that some people say, that the Bush administration is being pressured into doing things they don't want to do. I don't think that's the case. I think it's quite the opposite. The United States would like Israel, and Dick Cheney actually pointed to that. They would probably want Israel to take the initiative on their behalf, and that would give them the appearance of not being so directly involved. The fact of the matter is that you have a very structured alliance between the United States, Israel, NATO, and in NATO, Turkey and Israel have a joint military agreement which goes back quite a number of years, at least to the early 90s, and it's a far-reaching military cooperation agreement, and so that you have that whole area of the Eastern Mediterranean is militarized now at this stage. To say that it's strictly the Zionist lobby which is behind this, I think is a bit of an overstatement. I think it plays into this process. But that whole strategic relationship between Israel, the United States, has been in place for quite some time. And I still believe that ultimately the any kind of military operation which is launched will be launched out of Strategic Command headquarters in Nebraska. That's where the decisions are taken ultimately, and in close coordination, yes, with Israel.
In terms of NATO, I just wanted to examine that for a minute. You know, in the pre-World War II American right, most of the people that identified themselves with that movement tended to be very suspicious of foreign involvements and alliances and so forth. The American right, the mainstream portion of it, changed on that after the Second World War. And we can point to, William F. Buckley's National Review as being among the places where you can see evidence of that change. But NATO, as I understand it, was originally supported by most post-World War II American conservatives because it was seen exclusively as an alliance that was designed to keep Western and Northern Europe away from a takeover on the part of the Soviet Union. Now, with the end of the Cold War, it seems to me that NATO's mission and purpose has osmosed into God knows what, and that we have, it seems to me, an organization that has a different membership roster and an expanding membership roster, and seems to have missions and purposes that are totally unrelated to the classic Cold War model. What, in your understanding, is NATO's mission now, and what are the implications?
Well, I still think that NATO is dominated by the United States. It's very clear, and that all these new members ultimately play very little in terms of a role, a decision-making role within the Atlantic Alliance.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll take this up with Dr. Chasadoskou when we return. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's Window Genie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest for the remainder of our time this morning is Dr. Michael Chosadowski. He is the director of the Center for Research on Globalization. He is also an economics professor at the University of Ottawa in Canada. And if you go to globalresearch.ca, you can wind your way through the online shopping materials to Dr. Chosadowski's book, America's War on Terrorism. After we conclude this conversation about NATO, I want to get into a little bit of what's in that book, quoting the review of it or the synopsis of it at the Global Research site. It says, in this updated and enlarged edition, Michael Chosadowski blows away the smokescreen put up by the mainstream media that 9/11 was an intelligence failure. Through meticulous research, the author uncovers a military intelligence ploy behind the September 11th attacks and the cover-up and complicity of key members of the Bush administration. We'll get to that, but Michael, we were discussing NATO when we went to the break. Do you see NATO as basically a global military force to assure cheap access to raw materials or what?
Well, I see NATO as essentially as an organization which is controlled by the United States both politically as well as militarily, in terms of military technologies and so on. And it's built on essentially on the, I guess, the consensus of its major allies and partners in Western Europe. But I also think that NATO is a mechanism which has been used particularly by the Bush administration to prevent the European Union from having its own defense establishment. And there's been a competition between the concept of EU enlargement and NATO enlargement. And in a sense, what the United States wants to prevent is that the European Union become a competing world power. And as long as the European Union does not have a European Defense Force, which was the object of a referendum and so on, they will be stuck in a military alliance, the Atlantic Alliance, which is essentially dominated by the United States. And that means that United States overshadows Western Europe. And it also means that NATO, in a sense, participates in U.S.-sponsored wars, including Afghanistan, including the wars in the Balkans, and, of course, Iraq and Iran. That's the way I see it. Now, if Europe were a separate entity and had its own military and so on, it might be the geopolitics and the dynamics might be different to what it is today.
Do you, it seems to me as I watch this whole thing unfold, quite clearly there is going to be just an astronomical reaction to an American military intervention in Iran on a part of the Islamic States. I would suspect that this isn't going to be a very popular policy in Europe either. And I would say that in the United States, domestically, we're seeing these establishment polls now that indicate that 2/3 to 3/4 of the American people now oppose what is going on in Iraq. Does this indicate that in those three areas, the Islamic world for sure, Europe secondarily, the American domestic political scene third, that in all of these situations there is going to be an absolute break with this neoconservative foreign policy, and that the entire establishment American political and economic structure is at risk in this?
Well, I'm not entirely clear on that, because first of all, there's a lot of opposition, certainly, to the war, but there's still a lot of misunderstanding, I think, in the broader public opinion of what would be implied with a war against Iran. And even the anti-war movement has not really placed it at the center of its concerns. And unfortunately, they may start being active once it's too late, once the war has already been launched. So that's the first aspect. The other thing is certainly public opinion all over the world will be against this war, okay? But at the same time, the propaganda campaign will tell you, oh, this is a humanitarian war because these are bad guys and we're going after bin Laden and so on and so forth. Of course, none of that is true. It's a war of conquest. It has to do with oil. That region has that broader region, Middle East, Central Asia, has 60% of oil reserves, which is 30 times those of the United States of America. And Muslim countries as a whole have about 70% of global oil reserves. 16 times the oil reserves of all Western countries combined, including United States, Canada, Denmark, Norway, Australia, and the United Kingdom.
We'll be back with Dr. Chasanovsky. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Michael Chosadovsky, who is the director of the Center of Research on Globalization. You can find that website at globalresearch.ca. I guarantee you won't be disappointed in looking at what's there. And as far as his book is concerned, America's War on Terrorism, again, he indicates that 9/11 was not an intelligence failure, that there was a military intelligence ploy behind the September 11th attacks, and there was cover-up and complicity on the part of key members of the Bush administration. Michael, in what time we have left this morning, explain a little bit of the thesis of your book in that regard.
Well, I've been working on this issue for quite a number of years. And even before September 11, I've attempted to document everything very carefully. And I tried to link it up with U.S. National security doctrine and military and the military agenda. And 9/11 has been used as a pretext and a justification for waging war. And in a sense, what has happened is that the enemy has been fabricated. Bin Laden is presented as the outside enemy, allegedly responsible for the 9/11 attacks, when in fact it is known and documented that Bin Laden is what is called a U.S.-sponsored intelligence asset, an instrument of U.S. intelligence, going back to the Soviet-Afghan War. When Bin Laden and others were recruited, the so-called Mujahideen, to wage a war against the Soviet Union. And that's well acknowledged. And in other words, there have been links, consistent links, between Al-Qaeda and the U.S. intelligence apparatus during the Cold War era, but also in the wake of the Cold War. And what the U.S. administration, what the Bush administration is telling us, is that Bin Laden threatens, is an outside enemy which threatens the homeland, when in fact that enemy is a creature of the U.S. intelligence apparatus. So that is essentially the starting point. And then if you look at all the statements and speeches, it always says we're going after Bin Laden. We're going after Bin Laden with nuclear weapons. We're going after Bin Laden with bunker bombs. We're spending $450 billion to go after Bin Laden. Now, all that is ultimately to provide a justification for waging a war, which is ultimately a war of conquest. There's oil, there's oil and gas, there's resources, there's money to be made, and so Bin Laden is essentially the bogeyman. And there's evidence that Bin Laden has links to the U.S. administration. The Bin Laden family and the Bush family are business partners, or were business partners, and that's acknowledged. The Bin Laden family was on the board of directors of the Carlyle Group, for instance. So, again, we're dealing with a war which is presented as a crusade against Islamic terrorists, when in fact it's something else. It's a profit-driven military agenda.
Well, when you look, and I asked Dilip Hero about this a couple of hours ago, and we were talking about his book, this new book that he's written entitled Blood of the Earth. You know, when you look at the amount of oil and natural gas that is to be found in the Middle East and in Central Asia, and you look at, for some real obvious reasons, look at the amount of anti-American feeling that exists in that part of the world, I would argue both because of our rapacious need for oil at the expense of those nations who have it, as well as the particular policies that we have been supporting in Palestine. Are we not set up for a situation where the foreign policy of the United States for the conceivable future will be rooted in covert interventionism on the one hand, and where that proves to be unsuccessful, in some form of overt military aggression that is given some pretext or some context that is, at least for the consumption of the public relations people, unrelated to the obvious natural resource agenda?
Well, absolutely. I think you really put your finger on the most important thing, is that for public consumption, we have to consistently feed the news chain with stories on atrocities committed by Muslims, when in fact many of those atrocities allegedly committed by Muslims are committed by death squadrons which are supported by the US UK occupation forces in Iraq. What we are told is that the terrorists are fighting U.S. forces in Iraq. Okay, we're never told that this nation Iraq is actually resisting against invaders, so for public consumption, the war on terrorism is the most important pinnacle of the U.S. National security doctrine, and that's why I say that 9/11 is very important, because 9/11 is a big lie, and once the lie is revealed, the Bush administration doesn't have a leg to stand on, because Bin Laden is no longer is revealed as some kind of fiction who is he exists, but he's being used to justify the deployment of aircraft carriers and bombers and so on and so forth. At no time does the Bush administration say, hey, we need that oil. But if you look at military documents, which are not normally they're not normally published, but they're there. I mean, they're public documents. You'll see, back in the mid-90s, the Clinton administration actually said the first theater. This was Central Command document, but it's on the internet. It says the first objective is Iraq and the second is Iran, as far as theater operations are concerned. And the justification is oil. It's the access to Middle East oil. And visibly what the Bush administration wants is to steal that oil. They don't want to trade with these countries. I would say, why don't they trade with these countries and buy their oil and sell them other goods that are made in America and so on, and the standard of living of everybody would go up as a result. No, they don't want that. They want to destroy the country, transform it into a territory, steal the oil through privatization programs, which hand it over to Exxon and British Petroleum, and those are ultimately the people who are calling the strings, not necessarily the proxies in the White House or the State Department.
Well, you know, as far as this whole thing is concerned, I basically have no trouble accepting your thesis on this. I think it's transparent. And as I watch what has happened to our policy in Iraq, I'm reminded of something that Pat Buchanan said a few years ago on CNN when this whole thing was first starting, either CNN or MSNBC, I don't remember which. But he was one of a series of panelists, and he was asked for a prediction on the war. He said, well, we'll win the conventional military phase, and then we will lose the occupation. That's what he said in relation to Iraq. Quite clearly, that's happened.
Now absolutely.
Yes, and now we're talking about a situation where we clearly cannot effectively occupy a nation of 26 million people with all of the cultural and political and religious differences. We cannot occupy them with 150,000 troops and do it successfully. And now we're seeing, of course, all of the attendant sectarian difficulties with Shiites and Sunnis and Kurds. Now we have these intimations that we are about to go to war with Iran, ostensibly over their so-called nuclear program. Others have noted not simply the oil and natural gas reserves and pipelines that would be involved in all of this, but a number of people, Dr. Krasimir Petrov, among others, have talked about the fact that the Iranians are trying to establish an oil burst that would do business in the euro rather than the American dollar. This is perhaps another area of examination in terms of the motivation of the United States and all of this. But the point is that as we have failed to have a successful policy of invasion and occupation of Iraq, we're now talking about the difference between a country of 26 million, Iraq, and a country, Iran, of, say, 70 million. How do these guys, all morality aside, assuming that their policy is to gain access to cheap raw materials at any human cost, how do they expect to be successful in doing it in a country of 70 million people when obviously we're floundering in this present effort in a nation of 26 million? What's your take on that?
Well, you know, I think that unfortunately military war plans are formulated by civilians. Out of the various high-powered think tanks, they're not formulated by the armed forces. The armed forces actually they take the various assumptions. And these guys sitting in the Council on Foreign Relations, or even the civilian arm of the Pentagon, okay, Robert Gates or whoever, they don't have the foggiest idea of the military strategic implications of the decisions that they make, and they don't have a historical perspective of that. I mean, I think Pat Buchanan we've published his most recent text, which is a critique, and he also shows how the Democrats in this whole process, including Senators Clinton, Biden, Kerry, as well as Edwards, they're not really offering an alternative with regard to the war. I don't see how they're going to get us out of this war in relation to what is now the standard Bush administration agenda. So that, I think, is the context.
Well, yeah, and I look at this whole thing just thinking about the implications of your article. Again, going back to globalresearch.ca, your article entitled "The Demonization of Muslims in the Battle for Oil." Your other article is "The Bush Administration Planning a Nuclear Holocaust." To me, when I look at the 2,500-year history of Iran, as I understand it, and look at all of the ways in which they have been very successful in that period of time in dealing with foreign invasions, I look at the incredible civilian casualty figures that would have to be involved in the utilization of any form of nuclear weaponry in that country against these sites in question. The sites are apparently anywhere from 12 to 20 in number, depending on who you talk to. Then you throw on top of that Lieutenant General William Odom saying that any such aerial operation would have to be supplemented by having boots on the ground in that country. I look at this whole thing between the miscalculations of the present administration in Iraq related to money, related to lives, related to duration of the conflict, related to the amount of borrowed money involved. The list just goes on and on. When I look at all the miscalculations there and then extrapolate that to the perceived miscalculations that are already underway with this ridiculous Iran policy, I can foresee a circumstance where there would be God knows how many civilian casualties. You could conceivably have the Strait of Hormuz blocked off by the sinking of a ship. Oil could go to anywhere from $100 to $250 a barrel. The imposition of American military forces into Iran presumably would have to involve the utilization of an American military draft. When we look at the number of tours that are presently undergoing in Iraq and the cannibalization of National Guard forces and so forth, aren't we looking at something that is absolutely apocalyptic in its dimensions?
I fully concur with your assessment that any kind of military action directed against Iran would immediately lead to escalation. A few months ago, the Iranians conducted extensive military exercises, which were barely covered by the Western media. These exercises demonstrated a very sophisticated military capabilities, and certainly capabilities which would lead, if they're utilized, to escalation. There's no question that any kind of military action will immediately lead by the United States or Israel will immediately lead to escalation, because Iran has those capabilities, and Iran will target U.S. military facilities in the Gulf states, but they will target U.S. military facilities in Iraq. I mean, they're right on the doorstep there. They can send in troops into Iraq. If nuclear weapons are utilized, even these harmless to civilian nuclear weapons which they're talking about, which are Hiroshima bombs, we're talking about a nuclear holocaust. And the nuclear holocaust will not be circumscribed to any particular region. It's worldwide. Radioactive material travels. It's through with the wind. It'll go all over the place, and it'll be here for all future generations.
Yes, and to
that
me,
is where we're, that is. I mean, maybe we're, I'm not. I hate. I don't want to state any kind of prediction, because that's not the nature of my understanding. But I have to take seriously the statements which are made in these military documents and foreign policy statements. If they say we're going to use nuclear weapons against Iran, well, we have to address that as individuals and as citizens of you know, Canada, United States, and target those who are behind that project.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Dr. Michael Chasadovsky of globalresearch.ca. Stay tuned.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073, or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years, with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Back. This is Mark. Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We just got a couple of minutes left, and Dr. Michael Chasadovsky has been very gracious to be with me up to this point on the show from 9 a.m. Central till now. You can get to his website again at globalresearch.ca. He is an economics professor at the University of Ottawa in Canada, and he is the director for the Center on Research on Globalization. Michael, you still there?
Delighted.
Yes. I just wanted to ask you one more question because I know you have to run. If this war happens, I know that the defense correspondent of The Nation magazine was on this show on Monday the 15th speaking about the very serious possibility that this would begin to transpire, in his words, in the next few months. Do you agree with that assessment as a possibility?
I don't want to make any predictions. The reason for that is that these war plans have been in the advanced planning stages for for at least a year now. Okay, the article that you quoted on the nuclear holocaust was written. I first published it in February 2006, and we've been looking at this for at least 2 years, and I don't think it is wise to say this is going to take place at such a time, etc. When we don't know, because decisions are made behind closed doors. It could be shelved, it could take place. But I think the most important thing for people across America and around the world is to act decisively in municipalities, parishes, workplaces, universities, colleges, high schools, and tell and say we do not want a U.S.-sponsored nuclear war. And that affects our collective future as people, as part of a collectivity, and we belong, and as part of humanity. We do not want a nuclear war, and if the Bush administration is planning the ultimate crime, say it's the ultimate war crime, because it destroys human life, and that is what we have to do. The timeline, I mean, there's certain indications that this could be imminent, but again, one can't make those predictions. We have to organize. We have to network across the land. We have to talk. We have to confront the media lies. We have to make this part of a major campaign across America, across political parties. We do not want an escalation of this war to Iran.
Do you have a reasonable amount of optimism that, in terms of, well, I guess we're at the end of the hour, Michael, and it's your time
Let's
out.
Let's be optimistic.
Yes, your opportunity to cut and run for your office in Ottawa. I really thank you for being on this show. This has been a wonderful time for me, and I trust for the listeners as well. You can find Dr. Michael Chasadovsky at the Center for Research on Globalization at globalresearch.ca. His book, America's War on Terrorism, can be found on that site. You can order your copy directly through globalresearch.ca. Thanks to Dr. Michael Chasadovsky. This is Mark Dankoff's America, signing off from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. See you tomorrow.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts